Radio Prague News.
The Prime Minister says a cabinet reshuffle is possible. Prague has sent documents to Brussels relating to AgriFert, and supermarkets must keep providing unsold goods to food banks for free. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš does not rule out a cabinet reshuffle this year, Czech TV reported. The ANO leader said he would definitely be speaking to some ministers in the party's minority coalition with the Social Democrats. Communist Party, who support the government on key votes, are dissatisfied with the work of ANO nominee Dan Ťok as Minister of Transport and Tomáš Petříček as Minister of Foreign Affairs. Mr. Babiš told Czech TV that Mr. Ťok needed to get tougher and deliver results, adding that he would also get tougher. Social Democrats leader Jan Hamáček says he's opposed to any of the junior coalition's partners' ministers being replaced. The Czech Ministry of Agriculture has sent documents to the European Commission pertaining to subsidies received by the AgriFert conglomerate. A ministry spokesperson told the Czech news agency that the European Commission auditors would visit Prague to investigate suspected conflict of interest involving Prime Minister Andrej Babiš later this month. The former owner placed AgriFert in trust funds. However, critics say they are under Mr. Babiš's control. The European Parliament voted last month to suspend subsidies to AgriFert until the matter is cleared up. Mr. Babiš is facing criminal charges in the Czech Republic of EU subsidy fraud. Over 50 million crowns received by a hotel and conference centre near Prague that previously belonged to AgriFert. He denies any wrongdoing. Supermarket chains in the Czech Republic have to keep providing certain unsold goods to food banks free of charge. The Constitutional Court on Wednesday rejected a notion from a group of senators to have the obligation cancelled. 25 senators took the matter to the court in 2016, saying that the provision represented an infringement of ownership rights. They also argued against fines of up to 10 million crowns for failing to hand over such goods to food banks. The items in question may have damaged packaging or incorrect markings, but are safe to consume. They're distributed by NGOs. A municipal fireworks show in Prague on New Year's Day referenced the fact that this year the Czech Republic will be marking the 30th anniversary of the Velvet Revolution. The 11-minute display, which began at 6 p.m. on Tuesday on the city's Letná Plain, included five images meant to represent faces on the path to freedom in 1989, the Czech news agency said. The individual parts were named Prayer, Bare Hands, Unity, Forbidden Fruit and Freedom. The show was conceived of as the story of 1989 being explained to a child by a father. Fifth seed Karolina Plíšková has reached the fourth round of the Brisbane International Tournament. The Czech advanced after overcoming her compatriot Maria Boskova, a wild card in the tournament, 7-5, 6-2. By contrast, Petra Kvitová crashed out of her first tournament of 2019 in the second round. She lost in Brisbane to fourth seed Anett Kontaveit of Estonia, 5-7, 6-7. And the weather, snow is forecast for the Czech Republic on Thursday, with temperatures expected to reach a maximum of -1 degree Celsius. More snow is due through to the middle of next week. My name is Ian Willoughby. That is the end of the news. Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, the speakers of both houses of the Czech Parliament deliver New Year's addresses for the very first time. Czech's biggest fear is no longer terror attacks, but climate change. That's according to a new poll. And we go on a tour of the country's most famous brewery, where else but in Pilsen. Not since 2013 has a sitting Czech president addressed the nation on New Year's Day. Instead, the current head of state, Miloš Zeman, prefers to deliver an address on the day after Christmas. But this year, for the first time ever, the heads of both houses of parliament took up the mantle and called for greater civility in 2019. Brian Kennedy reports.
Senate Chairman Jaroslav Kubera of the opposition Civic Democrats and his counterpart in the lower house of parliament, Radek Vondrček from the ruling ANO party, both delivered speeches broadcast on New Year's Day and may what well become a new political tradition. The lawmaker's speeches aired back-to-back on public radio and television, with Senator Kubera as the second highest-ranking political figure under the Czech constitution first taking to the mic. Both spoke of the need to follow the golden rule, as set down in different texts from the Bible to the Code of Hammurabi, do unto others as you would have do unto you, and called for greater civility in public and political spheres, alluding to growing divisions in society. Here's an excerpt from Senator Kubera's speech.
Naše země je plná úžasných
většinou. Our country is full of amazing, mostly unknown people. But what we lack is greater humility and, at the same time, greater self-confidence. Greater humility and respect for the work of others rather than the notion our work is the most important. There's a lack of self-confidence and belief in our ability. We're incredibly skillful, paradoxically in part due to the totalitarian era. I know no other country where a violin virtuoso or a surgeon would build a house with his own hands. On the other hand, magic words like good day or thank you have almost disappeared from our vocabulary. Social media networks are full of anger and hatred. Even discussion of Christmas fairy tales releases a wave of hatred.
Dokonce i štědrovečerní pohádka vyvolává vlnu nenávisti.
MP Vondráček, quoting the likes of Churchill and Lincoln on the nature of democracy itself, at times messy and maddeningly slow-moving, also lamented the personal attacks and even threats have become a regular part of debate, that the Czechs' hard-fought right to freedom of speech should not be abused in such a manner.
Demokracie připouští, dokonce přímo vyžaduje odlišné názory.
Democracy not only allows for but directly requires the voicing of different opinions, of criticism and debate. Above all, it requires dialogue. But I mean a dialogue underpinned by rational arguments and motivated by mutual respect and goodwill. Dialogue that's calm, not laced with excessive emotion and hateful attacks. After all, a person in the right has no need to raise their voice. Democracy is not a boxing ring. We can remain decent people even when protesting in the streets. Vulgarity, personal insults, racism, threats, these don't belong to democracy.
Rasismus, výhrušky, to do demokracie nepatří.
Apart from calling on Czechs to take to heart the ethos of live and let live, Senator Kubera took a more partisan tack than did his counterpart in the lower house, calling on the state to be as uninvolved in the private lives of people as possible and criticizing specific policies, such as the new EU privacy regulation and a ban on smoking in pubs and restaurants, which he says infringes upon personal freedoms.
That report was by Brian Kennedy. Czechs are increasingly concerned about threats related to climate change, suggests a freshly published survey. According to the study by the Median Agency, they are mostly worried about drinking water becoming scarce and the impact of drought on the food harvest. On the other hand, Czechs are less afraid of terrorism than in the past, the poll indicates. Ruth Frankova has more.
For several years, attacks in Europe by Islamic State were regarded by Czechs as the greatest possible threat they were facing. But recent alarming reports on climate change and first-hand experience with prolonged periods of drought seem to have changed their opinion. Research conducted by the Median Agency in December among more than 1,000 respondents shows that an increasing number of Czechs are worried about the impacts of climate change, Median sociologist Daniel Prokop.
Zajímavé je, že oproti tomu minulému roku výrazně posílilo vnímání.
The perception of environmental threats has changed significantly since last year. People are most afraid of climate change and its impact on the food harvest and on the mass migration of people across the continents. Last year, it was still perceived as a marginal problem and only 38% of respondents regarded it as very serious, while today it is some 52%.
When asked whether they would be willing to restrict the use of drinking water, around 60% of the respondents said they definitely would.
It differs slightly with regard to education and age. What is interesting is that the older generation is more willing to make changes because we tend to associate environmental behavior with younger people and women are more willing to restrict themselves.
Před rokem to bylo ještě výrazný nepoměr v obavách z toho terorismu.
Czechs still regard the threats of attacks by Islamic State in Europe as a major danger. However, the percentage who considered the attacks a serious threat dropped from 70% last year to about 50% now. Daniel Prokop again.
Trochu se to liší podle vzdělání a podle věku, například...
Fear of terrorist attacks depends on what is happening in the society. When there are terrorist attacks taking place, the percentage of people who are seriously worried about them increases to about 70%, but right now it dropped to around 50%. So terrorism and climate change are currently regarded as equally dangerous threats.
Odhodlanější jsou spíše ženy, než muži se omezovat ekologicky.
With a growing awareness of environmental issues, an increasing number of Czechs are also showing symptoms of so-called climate anxiety, says psychologist Jan Krajhansl.
My máme nějaké vlastně kvalitativní výzkumy, které ukazují, že třeba...
Qualitative research shows that, for example, children in basic schools have anxious visions when asked about the future of the planet. We also know that a growing number of people are adapting their lifestyles or even considering not having children in order to save the environment.
Jsou i lidé, kteří třeba zvažují, kolik mít děti nebo zdali mít vůbec děti v té současné situaci.
According to Mr. Krajhansl, Czechs are more sensitive to more obvious problems such as drought or waste pollution, but they are less susceptible to other issues such as increasing temperature or the extinction of species.
That report was by Ruth Frankova. There's only one place in the entire world where you can drink Pilsner Urquell, the very first pale lager known to man, invented in a happy accident 176 years ago, unpasteurized, unfiltered, and straight from an oak wooden barrel, at the source. Brian Kennedy went on a guided tour with tourism and heritage manager Rudolf Schlehofer to learn the history behind the famous Czech beer and its traditional brewing methods of triple decoction and parallel brewing in oak lagering barrels.
So we are now in a visitor center on the yard of the Pilsen Brewery, the place when the Pilsner Urquell, the first pale lager in the world, were brewed. Beer and Pilsen is connected together for more than 700 years now, because all citizens in the Pilsen has the right to brew the beer from the 13th century. But during the time, because everybody from them brewed their own beer, they discovered that the quality of the beer is poor and they need to change. So they invested in the new brewery, and in 1842 they brewed the new beer. Because they have the newest technology, the English kiln and special raw materials, they invited Joseph Grohl, the famous Bavarian brewmaster. They brewed the first pale lager, first a little bit by the mistake, but they discovered that the beer is tasty, refreshing with the rich foam, and it tastes so well that everybody started to copy that.
What was the mistake, actually?
They really planned to brew Bavarian-style lager, something like a semi-dark or red beer, because it was very popular in Bavaria those time, and because they produced the Pilsen-type malt, a very, very pale malt, and from the pale malt you basically brew the pale beer. So they brew something different than they expected.
You were talking earlier about the raw materials. Could you elaborate a bit? Are they using the same hops from Satz that's so famous around the world?
What is practically still the same from the beginning when we established the brewery and brewed the first brew is that we use the best available raw materials ever. For the majority of our beers, we use just basic ingredients, like it's barley, water, yeast. For the Pilsner Urquell, it's a special strain of the yeast, so-called H strain, and hop. Hop is from the Saas region. It's a very, very famous Czech brand of the hop, very hoppy. Mm-hmm. So every tour starts with the showing of the history of the brewery, so all visitors can see the picture of the original brew house when the Mr. Grohl brewed the first Pilsner Urquell, and we show them how the brewery were successful in the 19th century and then became from the one small brew house in 50 years to the area of the 55 hectares and big industrial brewery.
How did this original building from 1842 compare in size and scale to other breweries in the Czech lands?
Practically the first brewery is something like a villa in the garden, not really the small building with some small buildings around. And in quite early history of the brewery, it became very, very big. And in our brewery really value the history, and we owned all document which is connected to the last 176 years. And the visitors can see the originals of the document which established the brewery in 1842.
Mm-hmm. Could you, for example, tell us what we're looking at now?
We are looking on the document, which were undersigned by 256 families, which invested their money in 1842 and decided to build the new brewery.
How much would a family need to invest? Was it all the same amount? And how did that come about?
Yes, the money were equal to each family because every family owned one right in the future brewery.
And at that time, was it not common to turn to banks, or was this a community effort?
Honestly, I don't know, but especially this type of the business is unique those time and even now, because yes, there was rights to brew the beer, and one of the way practically in the industrial revolution was to set up the new industrial company, so they invest their rights and their money to build up. We are now on the main yard of the Pilsen Brewery. It's an open place, open to public, minimally 19 hours per day. We organize the concert, summer cinemas and fairs for our visitors. Here is the biggest pub in Czech Republic, 550 seats, and also the brand new bar, and we offer the beer to our visitors.
From what time in the morning?
From 9 o'clock.
Okay.
This premises of the brewery yard was used for the normal production of the beer before it starts at this public place. And this road in the middle of the yard was the original main road to Prague, but the owners of the brewery has to bought it from the city because they need to get brewery bigger.
Mm-hmm. What year was that?
Around the year 1870 or something like that.
It almost looks like a town in itself. But that came much later, many years later.
It came much later because, looks like now, it's a beginning of the 21st century. For that, it was really used for the production of the beer. And at the beginning of this century, we decided to really open to public and invest to the improving condition of the art. Now we are in an exposition of the raw materials, and here on the first place is our mold. We have our mold house. We produce all mold which we need for the production of our beer, and we use only Czech barley, which we source from 140 or 150 local farmers, because we want to have the full control about the quality of the malt, because from the high quality malt we can brew the high quality beer.
And the water itself is also from local springs?
Yeah. Water is from our valves. We have the 5 valves, 100 meter deep, and we brew the beer just from this water, just from the valves. So we are now in the bottom of our valves, and we use this water from our valves for the brewing of all beer which we produce here in the Plzeň. It's a very soft water, high quality, practically in the quality of the newborn child water. So here you can see Saaz hops. It's the last ingredient which we put to the beer, which we brew from. You can taste it. It's really, really bitter. It's an original variety which is used for the beginning for brewing of Pilsner Urquell.
And this machine, what does...
You can mill a little bit of the hop pellets which we use, and then you can taste, and yes, it's really bitter. It's something like a spice of the beer, because you don't need so much hop for the beer. You need a lot of malt, but little bit, only a little bit of the hops. It's really the spice.
Just for the flavor?
Just for the flavor and the smell. The hop is not the content of the beer from the beginning. It was discovered in the medieval ages that it helped to conserve the beer and also to support the taste. Here we are in a hall of fame. You can keep pictures of all brewmasters. 16 brewmasters is on the wall, including the first one, the Mr. Grohl. He was here only 3 years because he was very, very hard to the people, and they don't like it because they brought the German drill, I would say, And let's say that Pilsen citizens and brewmaster wasn't so happy from this. It's very, very interesting. It's a kettle number one. So in this kettle, also from copper, Mr. Grohl brewed the first Pilsner Urquell, just in this. It's the biggest artifact which we have on the tour. And we were quite lucky, because twice in the history, minimally twice in the history, it has to be hidden because of world wars. Because if we are not lucky, it would be probably some gun.
It would be melted down into...
melted down to some army stuff. And now we are in an old brew house, where we brew the beer till 2004. This kettle shows what is really special on the Pilsner Urquell beer. We still use the direct heat, which is not definitely usual in the industrial scale. So there is a flame, now natural gas flame. There is a copper bottom. And the reason is that at the bottom there is 680 degrees Celsius. And it means that the sweet content in a wort a little bit caramelized. So at the beginning you have a bitter taste of the Pilsner Urquell, and at the end it's a little bit of the sweet.
Is there some property to the copper that is more suited to production of beer than other metals?
Honestly, nobody knows. The biggest advantage of the copper is that, let's say, it leads the heat in a proper way. So in 19th century, it was standard material for the brewing, the copper. In current days, the standard is stainless steel for many, many reasons. But for the Pilsner Urquell, because it's a traditional beer, we use a triple machine. Normal beer has one machine or two machine, twice machine process. Triple is unicum. And also this caramelized taste from the bottom is also unicum. So we use the direct heating like at the beginning because we want to, let's say, maintain same brewing procedure like 876 years ago.
And all those years ago, was it also the three steps?
Definitely. It's from the beginning, it's like the root origin of the Pilsner Urquell, the triple mashing process.
Okay, so if you could tell me, where are we now and how hot is it?
So here is, we are now in a place that we are very proud of. It's our brew house, the heart of the brewery. We have here close to 40 degrees Celsius. And it's a place where the Pilsner Urquell is brewed for all wort. So it's the only place in the world where we brew the Pilsner Urquell.
It surprises me a bit not to see anyone actually working in the area.
Yeah, it looks like very similar to the old one. You can see that we use all traditional steps which we need for the production of Pilsner Urquell. But of course, it's a modern production, 21st century.
Co to znamená?
Ukončení várky. Tenhle zvon, s tímhle tím zvonem se dávalo vědět, že se vlastně ukončila várka piva. This bell means that the brew is done. So the brew is finished and the beer is ready to move to the cellars. Jenom dávajte si prosím pozor, protože to může kouzat. Je to mokrý. Please be careful because the floor can be a little bit slippery. There's a constant temperature during the year, something between 8 and 12 degrees Celsius. And now we are something like 8 meters after the surface. And it's sandstone. The deepest point of the cellars is something like 20 meters underground. Now we are in a brewery cellars. So there is an 1839 year on the door of the cellars, and it's the same year when the citizens of Plzeň decided to invest their money to the new brewery. And 3 years before the brewery started the operation, they started to cut the cellars. We have 9 kilometers of cellars. The brewers needed 50 years to cut it in a sandstone, and it was finished something like 1896. It was used for the practically majority of the production of the beer, because on the surface of the brewery was just the brewing process done, and then beer was moved to the cellars for the fermentation, maturation, and also filling of the kegs. We use only several hundred meters from the cellars just for the needs of the tour and also for the production of the beer, because as you will see in a second, we still produce the beer in an original way. And I think it's the last place in a modern industrial brewery where we produce the beer in oak barrels in the traditional way.
And that deepest point you mentioned of 20 meters below, is that used for anything in particular?
No, it's just because of the surface, because the brewery is on the hill, so now we are very close to the river, so there is not so, let's say, the deep underground, but on the hill there is a lot of sandstone.
But still the temperature would change a bit, doesn't that affect
No, practically not, because it's an open system, so because it's so large and it was cooled down by ice melting, because we harvest the ice on the ponds and rivers around the Plzeň, so because of the cooling by the ice and later by the artificial cooling, temperature was very, very stable. And because of the open system, the temperature was practically the same in all system. Here you can see how we produce the beer in an old traditional way. So we brew the beer in the brew house, which you have seen before, and we ferment it in this open oak barrels for 10 days. After 10 days it's fermented, temperature of the beer is increased every day by 0.5 degrees Celsius. And after the fermentation, we move the beer to the maturation vessels or these oak barrels, and we mature the beer for further 25 days.
And the temperature increase is a result of the fermentation?
As a result of the work of the yeast, because the yeast consumes the sugars which is in the beer and extract the CO2 and alcohol, and the temperature increase. Tak, vezmeme si sklenice a ochutnáme pivo, které tady krásně jsme vyrobili a uzrálo v dubových sudech. So we will take the glass and we will taste the beer which we produce here in the cellars. It's only place in the world when you can taste the non-filtered, non-pasteurized Pilsner Urquell from the oak wooden barrel.
The only place in the whole world.
Only place in the whole world. Na zdraví.
That report from Pilsen was by Brian Kennedy, and that's all we have time for right now here on Radio Prague. You can, of course, contact us by email at english@radio.cz, and you'll find us on Twitter and on Facebook. But for now, from me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much for listening, folks, and do join us again soon.